Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. We do this weekdays at 11 o'clock, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We are officially 1 month away, as we sit here on August 29th, from Hoosier Hysteria at Assembly Hall to at least publicly kick off the 2018-19 season with a practice and a scrimmage and some other fan festivities for the 2018-19 Indiana Hoosiers roster. So college basketball still a ways off. The scrimmage for Indiana November 1st when they take on the University of Southern Indiana. First game for the Hoosiers November 6th when they host Chicago State. But if you're looking at it from the September 29th perspective, the Hoosier Hysteria perspective, that's always been the, I think, unofficial kickoff to the season, at least here in Indiana. We are getting closer. We are 1 month away from that. Also last night, New Albany product Josh Rogers records his first ever Major League Baseball win as the Orioles beat the Toronto Blue Jays. Rogers with a solid performance. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. But look good for five complete innings. Let's hope he gets more opportunities to showcase his pitching skills and perhaps earn a spot permanently in Major League Baseball. But a good start for a pitcher that has worked his way up, a hometown guy that has worked his way through the system and getting some opportunities that he deserves. Really cool to see him last night step on that mound, fire down that first pitch for the Orioles in Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honeybaked Ham joining us on this Wednesday program. We'll have news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Also in the first segment, we'll have Chris McIntyre, New Albany's high school baseball coach. He was at the game last night. Had a great seat down low to watch his former player throw down his first ever major league pitch and was there for all the festivities before and after the game. And I know a lot of people buzzing about this yesterday and a lot of people out and about in New Albany and Southern Indiana to find a place to watch the game that had the MLB package if they didn't have it at their own place. So I thought it'd be neat to hear from his high school coach who was there, who got to be with him before and after the game and see something I'm sure that was once in a lifetime, not only for Josh Rogers and his family, but for a high school coach of any sport to see one of your former athletes go on to have success and reach the pinnacle, even though it's just one start in Major League Baseball, had to be a pretty impressive night, I'm sure. And we'll talk with Chris McIntyre about it coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, later in the program, segment two, we'll be joined by Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll talk all about IU basketball. We'll talk IU football in lieu of this weekend's opening game at Florida International with Jeff when he joins us. Later in the program, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We take a quick look at week three of high school football, already getting in to week three. We've got some big games this week, a lot of big games still to be played out later in the season. We'll take a look at those with Greg when he joins us today. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Just really a couple things to get to, mainly on the basketball recruiting front. Trey Mann, who Indiana has had interest in, offered a scholarship to, made the cut when he trimmed his list. He committed yesterday to Florida. He's a Florida kid. He'll stay in state and play college basketball at Florida. So a 2019 prospect, 2019 guard in Trey Mann, off the board for the Indiana Hoosiers. Also, Isaiah Stewart from New York, he's playing his high school ball at LaPorte La Lamire. He announced his top six schools on Friday night. Indiana was one of those six schools. He writes a blog for USA Today, high school sports section, and they ask him in his recent entry to write about the six schools in his list. And I always find it interesting when you get to hear directly from a player about what they think about each school. Maybe what they say different about some of the different schools that they're considering in their final list. For Indiana, I'm going to read to you exactly what Stewart wrote. He said, quote, "Coach Miller is a great coach who really develops his guys. The atmosphere there is crazy, and they really love their basketball there. They get you to the next level, and it's just an all-around great school." So Isaiah Stewart making comments similar to that on his six final schools, but obviously just over unofficial visits, he hasn't had an official visit to Indiana. He gets the environment in Bloomington. He gets the fans in Bloomington. Obviously, also thinking about the next level, he understands that Archie Miller can help him get there as well. So interesting to hear what he had to say about each of his six schools that he'll consider moving forward. Mentioned Josh Rogers at the top of the show. Great performance last night. Five innings. He went five full innings, which means he was eligible to pick up the win. Seven hits in five innings. Gave up three runs, one base on balls, two strikeouts. And again, the Orioles would go on to win 12-5 over the Blue Jays. He had a terrific career going back to the New Albany Little League days as a young kid growing up here in New Albany. Of course, he had a great high school career at New Albany High School playing for Chris McIntyre, who will join us in just a few moments, and an outstanding college baseball career for the Cardinals before being drafted by the New York Yankees. He was traded from the Yankees organization to the Orioles organization back in July. Obviously, Baltimore struggling right now as a team, struggling with their pitching, and that's when the opportunity opened for Josh Rogers to get his first ever debut of Major League Baseball last night. I mentioned Chris McIntyre, who normally we get the opportunity to talk with in the spring during the high school baseball season. I mentioned that he was at the game last night to see a former player of his step out on the Major League mound at Camden Yards and deliver his first pitch of many, we hope, in Major League Baseball. And Coach Mack joins us right now on the phone. Coach, it's great to talk to you first off at this time of year. Normally we're not talking until the spring, but obviously for Josh Rogers and for his family, it's a special night. We're going to talk about some of that in a moment. But for you, as a high school coach that spent a lot of years coaching high school baseball in New Albany, you've had a lot of players go on to play college baseball, a lot of players go on to be very successful in their professional lives as well, but you've never had someone reach that pitching mound in Major League Baseball. What was it like as you watched your former player fire down that first pitch last night for the Orioles?
Well, it was it almost didn't even seem real, Matt, to be quite honest with you. It was just it just was almost like you were in a dream. So I can't even imagine what it felt like for him. But I know I had very little to do with it. I mean, he's just tons of talent and with from a good family, and he worked hard, and so as a high school coach, you just try not to screw him up. But I was lucky enough to get to coach him. We've stayed in touch. We've stayed close since he got out of high school, and he is he's just such a good person that it just makes you happy for him.
Chris McIntyre, New Albany's baseball coach, is our guest. He was at Camden Yards last night. What a stadium! I've never been there, but that's one on my list. It's a really neat environment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my first trip there, too. I've been to a lot of Major League ballparks, but I haven't been to many up east. And a beautiful place. It was kind of it was really the first of the new ballparks that went in the early 1990s. But it's held up well, and it was unbelievably hot last night. I don't know if they talked about that on TV, but heat index was about 104, 105. And so it was a miserable game to set through, but I would set through it in 200-degree heat. But, yeah, it was a nice ballpark. And much of a crowd there. They're not getting anybody there right now because they're the Orioles have been so bad all year. And so the crowd was down, but that still didn't take away from the enjoyment.
Absolutely. We're talking with Chris McIntyre, New Albany baseball coach. He's actually en route back from attending the game at Baltimore last night. You mentioned your feelings, and I can only imagine the feelings that Josh and his family had getting that major league start. And we're going to catch up with Josh soon on this very program. But last night kind of set the scene for us. You mentioned the heat, obviously, and that was clear on television if you were watching those pitchers, and you could just tell sweat pouring off of both of those guys for both teams. But in addition to the heat, for Josh, his first opportunity to be out there, and you got to spend some time with him, I think, before, but definitely after the game. So you maybe have a little insight on how he was feeling about this whole deal.
Yeah, he obviously nervous. I don't think he even went to sleep Monday night. He was a bundle of energy. He got to the ballpark Monday when he got the call. He drove on up from his Norfolk team up to Baltimore, and he got there a little bit before game time. He couldn't sit in the dugout the first night because he wasn't on a 25-man roster. So he spent the whole night actually in the clubhouse. Well, I was driving. I had left about 5:30 from home, and so we ended up talking on the phone most of the way because he was bored sitting in there and antsy, and I was just sitting in the car. So we ended up talking a lot on the way over, and so that was kind of neat. And but yesterday, I guess they have to get to the ballpark. Pitchers have to get there like at 1:30. Well, Josh, that meant everybody. Typical Josh Fasten. You tell him to do something, he's going to do it. So he's there like at 1:30 yesterday, and everybody said, "What are you doing? You don't have to be here till like 4:00." He said 1:30. And so he was there, and so he spent a lot of time just kind of walking around on the field. And, you know, as most kids, people his age are addicted to their phones and they're connected to it. So he just texts people all day just to see what they were up to and are they coming to the game, make sure people are getting their tickets and so forth. And I guess they had some teammates going, "Man, you need to get off that phone." But for Josh, that's Josh getting ready, though. I mean, Josh didn't want to sit around and think about it. He just wants to be normal. And so he did. So he went through that. And it's pretty neat when he came out for the first time. You know, we all, the whole group, there were about 30 friends, family, former coaches were there. And so we all went to the bullpen. They had their bullpens out in left field there. And so he said after the game he was looking for us, and he didn't see us until he started warming up. And so he said that was really neat, and he felt good about that. He saw some familiar faces. After the game, he actually, in typical Josh fashion, he wanted to share that experience with everybody else that was there. And so he asked the Orioles, I let everybody come down to the club. They couldn't get in the clubhouse. We just came to the door outside the clubhouse. And so they did. They allowed us all to come down. And Buck Showalter stopped to talk to Josh's dad and congratulate him. And players were going by. And we probably were in there for a half hour, 45 minutes when he came out. We got to visit with him. And then some of us went. We went to eat after the game and probably stayed up way too late last night. But that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we got to spend some time with him. But I just think the thing that I will take away from it is how important it was for him to want to include everybody else. I just can't say what a special thing that is.
Absolutely. Chris McIntyre, New Albany baseball coach, our guest. He was at Baltimore last night for Josh Rogers and his major league debut. You mentioned this, and I want to close with this before we let you get back to focusing on driving back. But he has stayed in very close contact with you, and that's not uncommon for a player to stay in touch with high school coach and people from his childhood growing up that were instrumental in his career. But he still contributes to the New Albany baseball program. He's one of the guys that, you know, he played his senior year for basketball. I see him in the gym at practice over Christmas break when he gets the chance to come back, or when in the off season when he's got some spare time, he'll come down to the school, drop in, see the current baseball and basketball players, and, of course, catch up with the coaches. But he's still very much a community-minded guy, and he still very much is connected with your New Albany baseball program.
He is. It kind of blows the young guys away. But he'll start usually the 1st of January. He'll come in and he'll work out with us. And
he'll use one of our catchers. He'll actually throw to one of our catchers. So we'll may have a scrawny freshman catcher squat down and catch Josh. And so it's kind of a neat thing. I mean, they feel a part of this as much as anybody. So, but Josh,
to use the term, he doesn't big league anybody. I mean, he's no different now than he was when he was 13 years old. I mean, that's just the way he was brought up. And the New Albany community is important to him. Matter of fact, when he texts me, you'll hear something about something going on in New Albany. He'll always text me, want to know what's going on. And so he does want to stay connected. And so I just think that's a really neat thing for him. I guess today, too, something he was talking about last night, I guess it's tradition in the big league that once you get ready to go on your first road trip, you have to wear a suit. I mean, they don't dress. They don't dress casual at the major league level going on a road trip. So one of the veterans will get the credit card, hand the credit card over. They're bringing Taylor in today, and they'll buy him two or three suits. And they're not buying suits that you can get at JCPenney. They bring in a Taylor, and they have all that set up for him today. So they're going to have him looking nice for his first road trip.
Wow, and that's what I was going to ask you. Did he say last night, or does he know what's next? Does he stay with the Orioles moving forward for a while to get another opportunity?
He does. He's scheduled to pitch, I believe, next Tuesday in Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
He's going to stay with them. I do think, though, and he believes it. They haven't told him, but he has a lot of innings. He's up to 140 or something like that, and that's a lot of innings for somebody his age. And so, you know, I think he hopes that he can get three or four more starts and maybe get five innings each time, maybe get 15, 16, 17 more innings the rest of the year. I think he would be pretty satisfied with that. And if he does pretty well, that really puts him in a pretty good spot coming back next year for spring training.
Absolutely. Chris McIntyre, New Albany baseball coach. Coach Mack, so glad you got the opportunity to make the trip and be there for Josh Rogers in his major league debut. Have a safe trip back, and thanks for sharing some of the inside stuff that happened yesterday. Obviously, it's great to follow local kids from Southern Indiana that go on to college and have great careers, and it's hard to fathom someone from this area going to the professional level, but that's what happened last night, and we appreciate all the insight and time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
All right, New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre again. What an opportunity, not only for Josh Rogers, but his family and his high school coaches and other coaches as well that coached him coming up through the sport of baseball, specifically a neat night last night. The first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. It's Wednesday, which means you can buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, and when you buy three, you'll get three free. When you buy six, you'll get six free at Hoopsters Sports Grill all day each Wednesday at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com, IU basketball, and IU football up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday edition of the program. It's Wednesday, which means we get the opportunity to hear from Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com. Perfect timing. We've got football coming up with the Hoosiers in action later this week, their season opening game at Florida International, and always basketball stuff of interest to chat about with Jeff when he is with us on the program. Jeff, yesterday you got the opportunity to hear from Fred Glass. Of course, some changes, some updates, some modernization to Memorial Stadium in Bloomington with football season just around the corner, and some interesting things to talk about coming out of that conversation too. So let's start there. You had a great piece yesterday on Peaks.com. If you're a member, you can read it on the website. With all the talk about some of the new things at Memorial Stadium, Indiana still doesn't have a dedicated football-only facility as far as off-the-field stuff. And that is something that when you talk about increasing recruiting,
competing with Jeff Brohm at Purdue, and other topics that obviously are challenges that this Indiana football program faces and will face down the road as well. That's something that can come up from time to time. And you had an interesting take or some interesting thoughts on some of Fred Glass's comments about the facilities yesterday.
Well, yeah. One of the things that's really interesting is that everybody competes against the other people that they play against. You know, you're not competing against yourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what have you. You know, you have to play against teams in the real world. And anybody who saw, you know, or has had a chance to go up and see Purdue's new facility, I mean, I've been up there. It's really nice. I had a chance, thanks to a friend, to go see Minnesota's deal 2 years ago. It's really, really nice. So, I mean, the point is, you know, you compete against the other teams in your conference primarily, you know, and you can sit around and go, hey, you know, we used to be bad and on facilities and now we're good. Rah, rah, and wave your pom-poms, and shoot off fireworks, and, you know, do whatever you want. But the reality is, you know, kids you're going to recruit, they're going to see other schools also. And, you know, Indiana University is choosing not to have a football-only facility. And Indiana also is choosing to use football-only facility and as far as language when they're talking about training room. And that's very disingenuous. And I actually think that's actually almost, you know, insulting to their football staff. If I was an AD or a university president, I certainly would not do that. And again, some of these things are not about athletic directors. Some of them are about university presidents. And, you know, I mean, does Indiana University have a university president who understands these conversations? I don't know. You know, he won't talk to us in the media. So whether or not he has a clue or not, I don't know. So a lot of people lay these things at Fred Glass's door. I'm not too sure that's fair. I'm not saying it's not fair, but I'm saying until Indiana University has a president who doesn't take $26-plus million of Big Ten Network money away from athletics and use it for his pet projects, I don't know. I mean, I think Indiana University athletics deserves a better president than Michael McGravy.
I tell you what, it would be real interesting, and I did not know anything about the Big Ten Network television money until I read your piece. And again, we're talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com about a story he wrote yesterday after the opportunity to hear from Athletic Director Fred Glass about some facility improvements. But I would be really curious, Jeff, and it probably would take some time, but wouldn't be too hard to figure out what, because it is public record, what the other Big Ten schools use their portion of Big Ten money for, and if that much at any other schools by the tune of $26.5 million is going to projects completely outside of athletics.
Yeah, you know, that's a really, well, to be honest, that's my next project. Now, getting, you know, dialed down to those exact dollars, it's difficult. Because Board of Trustees like to hide money at all universities. I'm not necessarily high, but they like to move a dollar here, move a dollar to the right, move a dollar up, move a dollar down, and everybody goes, where do you go? Now, you know, it's so you got to, you know, what you got to do is you got to go through a lot of Board of Trustees meeting notes. But, you know, at a place like Indiana, where you have, what's their athletic budget? Right around 100, in the last few years, gone from 101-ish to 110-ish, ballparking it. But again, they always move a dollar here, left or right, so it's really hard to get exact numbers. But anyway, 26 million over a number of years. When you're talking about, and again, Fred was right. Fred Glass was right. And he and I kind of went back and forth. You can watch the video. Oh, Fred still likes me. I'm not too sure. it's not $26 million, you know, cash in a bill. He's right about that. But it is actually $26 million in real dollars. Now, we may get paid off $1.5 million per year, $2 million per year, what have you. Here's a real question. Michael McRobbie, the president of Indiana University, is retiring here shortly. It's been announced. So is that a guy who is sitting there going, you know what, I want my legacy to be these big buildings that people remember me by, and I'm going to do some things, and if I have to steal it from athletics, then so be it. I don't know. But I think somebody at Indiana University should ask those questions. I certainly think somebody who covers Indiana University at an institutional level should ask if Michael McRobbie is taking money from IU Athletics that might not be better used elsewhere. I think those were legitimate questions. And I asked him yesterday, and again, does everybody in the history of the world love me now at IU? I don't think so. But those are legitimate. You're talking about $26 plus million. You ask the questions. And so I asked the questions, and I'm sure I lost friends yesterday. And, you know, that falls in the world of, you know, this is a big boy ball. And so be it. But, you know, what other schools do? Here's what I do know. I do know other schools, Big Ten Network schools, Big Ten schools who have a Big Ten Network deal, obviously. They took money early, and they've taken less recently. I think it's reasonable for somebody who covers Indiana University at an institutional level to ask Michael McRobbie, have you actually gone to these other schools, Illinois, $80 million football-only complex being built. I believe it is set to open in 2019. Have you gone to Purdue, football-only complex, $65 million already open? Somebody should go to Michael McRobbie, the president of Indiana University, and ask, are you interested in your legacy, or are you interested in doing things that matter to Indiana University? That man should have to answer that question.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. I like investigative Jeff. We see that from time to time. You're always informative, Jeff, but today we're getting a little bit of investigative Jeff. And again, the story that I'll call it a column-type story we're talking about is on Peaks.com about this.
No. Hang on a second. It's not a column. Read it. There are no adjectives in that story. I will give you $1,000 cash if you find an adjective, and those are simple declarative sentences. And again, that's one of the things that, you know, if you're going to do this and you're going to sit in the journalistic chair, journalistic capital J, do it right, damn it. You know, and I'm sorry, not everybody in the history of my profession has set the world on fire as far as doing it right. I care about my profession. Read that story and tell me I didn't do it right. And I don't say that with that with any arrogance. I'm just saying, you know, read that story. And again, Fred Glass and I talked afterwards. You know, we're good. He understood that I did it right. I don't think, and he made a point that reasonable people can disagree. And I'm not too sure he agrees with all the questions that I asked. Although I do think he was okay that somebody asked the questions before they wrote the story, which I think is the only way you should do that. But, you know, there's no opinion in that story. You know, read that story. Seriously. I don't mean you. I mean anybody out there. Read the story that I wrote and show me an adjective there. It's not there.
J. JeffRabjohnSpeaks.com. Continuing on with football, and I can't wait to follow your coverage of what we just talked about as far as where other schools and their monies are going from the Big Ten Network. But continuing on with football, opener this week for IU football, quarterback situation obviously was the story to follow in fall camp leading up to this week. Brandon Dawkins leaving the program, that's kind of another sidebar here in this opening game week for the Hoosiers. So a lot of activity. Morgan Ellison as well, that's another off-the-field situation. But a lot of activity both on and off the field leading up to this game in Miami.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, all of us who got to go down there and watch practice, I thought the starter was clear. And I just think that was like, I mean, after like, a couple of practices, you know, I thought it was like beyond obvious, you know, because Tom Allen, you know, told Matt Weaver and I some things as far as like, you know, it's an open competition, but, you know, here's things you guys might want to watch. Okay. You know, so you watch, you know, and it's not, you know, everybody kept talking about everybody, all the quarterbacks are getting reps with the starters. I'm like, yes, it's not, the point is not that they're getting reps. The point is what they are doing with those reps. You know, if Matt Dennison and Jeff Rabjohns are standing back there and two guys are hiking the ball to them, and yet we're turning and throwing the ball, and Matt Dennison is throwing bullets and hitting guys, and Jeff Rabjohns is throwing the ball into the ground, who would you want to start a quarterback? I mean, you're picking Matt Dennison, without question. So I thought it was beyond obvious who was going to start. And with Michael Penix, I mean, anybody who has read what Matt Weaver has written about him or seen the film that Matt Weaver put up. And again, Michael Penix is a guy that we actually sent Matt Weaver, you know, on the road to another state to watch. I mean, I thought it was clear. I mean, I thought it was obvious. Now, as far as a guy leaving, I'm not going to sit here and say I know what is in another human being's psyche. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know another man's mind or kid's mind, I should say. I mean, at the end of the day, 21-year-old brain, maybe he, you know, has some things that we don't know about. You know, I don't know, but I'm definitely not throwing anybody under the bus with some kind of hot take, because there's enough things that we all know. I mean, all of us who actually, you know, go to IU football practices and show up know that I'm going to tap the brakes. You know, I'm not going to do a hot take thing because there's a lot out there. You know, are people disappointed? Sure. And I totally understand that. I'm not telling anybody else what to think. You know, I'm just saying when it comes to football and football players and things that are specific to certain individuals that we've heard about, no, I think anybody who's going to go hard with a hot take is not fully informed.
Talking IU football, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Wednesday edition of the program, we're always joined by Jeff. And as we sit here, switching gears a little bit now, Jeff, on August 29th, we are 1 month away from Hoosier Hysteria. College basketball season, still plenty of time between now and the tip, but Hoosier Hysteria is kind of that good midway point, maybe beyond midway point, where you can kind of see the team for the first time. You feel like the season has begun, even though practices obviously will have begun by that point. But fans, I think, use that as a barometer that the season is here and just around the corner. Hard to believe that we're just a month out from that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be everybody keeps talking about, like, how big is this Hoosier Hysteria going to be? You know, you're a Southern Indiana guy. I mean, I think it's going to be big. What do you think?
I think it'll be crazy because of the Romeo factor. I think just the fact that he hasn't been on the court. He hasn't been seen since the end of his high school season. Some of those all-star games that people will want to see him in that IU uniform, IU practice gear, whatever they wear for the first time. I think that alone will make it up. There's so much buzz, you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I totally agree. I was just kind of curious what you thought, but I think I think there are so many, you guys down there in Southern Indiana, you got to see Romeo a lot. A lot of people, I'm going on what I hear from people who might attend the event. I'm not talking about us in the media. I'm talking about fans, people, just people who might go, I want to go to Hoosier Stadium. They've never actually seen Romeo Langford play the game, or they may have seen him once or maybe twice. They've watched some highlights, and to be fair to Romeo, some of the highlights are way over the top. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, Romeo Langford might actually miss a shot, once or twice in the history of his life. But there's so much buzz up here in Indy just about, they want to see him in an Indiana uniform because there was so much hope. There was so much so many fans up here in Indy were like, we want him there. What do you think, Rabbi? What do you think's going to happen? Calm down, guys. Let it play out. Dad says it's going to spring. And so many people, there was so much hope that was basically put on hold for the whole season, and now they know he's going to be in an Indiana uniform. And I think there's so many people who just want to see it. I mean, they just want to see it. They just want to see Romeo Langford walk out, candy stripes, warm-ups, an Indiana jersey, and they just want to see it. I mean, I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to hit, some people are like, it's going to be the greatest thing of all time. I don't know. We'll see. But I think there's really legitimate anticipation in Indianapolis for them, just for seeing it. No, and again, it's not a game. So many people I hear from just want to see Romeo Langford in an IU jersey walk out on the court, and they just want to be like, that kid is playing in Indiana. That's what Archie did year one, and they just want to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. A lot of stuff on IU football and facilities, IU basketball with Hoosier Hysteria now a month away. We do this each Wednesday with Jeff on the program. Jeff, thanks for the chat.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. You don't want to have a terrible voice with a cold, but I appreciate you, my brother.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, always fun to have with us on the program. And again, he joins us Wednesdays here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head out to a commercial break. When we come back, the final segment, I'll be joined by Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Week 3 of high school football. The season is rolling along. We'll talk about some of the big matchups and other local storylines in Southern Indiana sports. Probably spend a little more time talking about Josh Rogers and his Major League Baseball debut last night for the Orioles as well with Greg. So stay with us for that coming up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment here on this Wednesday show. It's Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, who is with us Wednesdays as well to talk local sports headlines here in Southern Indiana. A lot of the things we talk about each week are available at newsandtribune.com/sports. You can read Greg and his sports team's coverage of things here in Clark and Floyd counties and beyond. Greg, we got to start, even though I've spent some time talking about it already in this show and had Chris McIntyre on, who was at the game last night, but we got to start with Josh Rogers. A lot of fun to see him last night make his Major League Baseball debut, and even more fun that he was able to get the win.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. Thanks for having me. That was you know, really kind of an exciting evening for fans down here. I think too bad it wasn't on television, although I saw some video of people gathering around town. Quite a bit of support in the stadium for Josh, you could hear. I listened to tune in to the Orioles broadcast. They really liked him as well. So it was really kind of a fun night for somebody who, you know, probably the first kid since I lived here who kind of grew up before your eyes became a star and now is pitching in the majors. Doesn't happen every day.
Awesome to hear as well. Chris McIntyre telling us this earlier that he gets to stay with the Orioles. I mean, for how long, who knows, if that'll last all season or for the next couple weeks or for the next couple games. But he's preparing for a road trip and is already scheduled to pitch. He thought it was the Seattle game, I think, sometime next week if it all holds true and everything stays put. But it sounds like he's going to get maybe some more opportunities forthcoming with this Orioles team struggling and looking for pitching for the future. This might be a perfect match for him to not just get one start, but to get a real, real chance at Major League Baseball.
Sure, and like I said, the Orioles announcers really felt like he would stick with this team for the long run. You know, they were really impressed with his location and his ability to throw pitches in situations that a lot of pros won't make because of his control. And if you watched the game last night, it's pretty obvious he belongs. I'm not sure he's a superstar yet, but I don't think there's any doubt that he belongs in the majors, and I think he proved that last night.
Absolutely. Just an awesome sight. Boy, it was hot. You could tell. First, I saw Josh. They had panned in on him right before the first pitch. We were watching on the Orioles TV network. I can't remember the name of it, but on the Major League package. But they panned in on him, and he just was sweating profusely. And then I think we heard pretty quick the temperature with the heat index was 105, 106 degrees, and the Toronto pitcher obviously was feeling the heat as well. Everybody was sweating profusely last night, but what an interesting deal, and so neat to see him record a victory. Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us. I do want to talk about week three of high school football, but before I get there, I pulled this out this morning. I looked at the Indianapolis Star. They had a list online of high school football players by program in Indiana that are on FBS rosters for the 2018 college football season. No surprise that of all the Indiana guys that have went on to play D1 football, Cathedral has 17 as the top high school with number of graduates playing college football. Ben Davis has 12. Carmel has 12. Center Grove has 10. No surprise there, but I've wondered, you know, trying to think around, obviously Rondale Moore from New Albany went to Trinity and then went on to Purdue there, but I was trying to think who else would be on this list from a local school. Jeffersonville has two players, Dana Kennard, defensive end, a freshman at Louisville, a redshirt freshman, and Cameron Northern, a quarterback, redshirt freshman at Purdue. So the Red Devils with two playing FBS football, at least on the roster for this season.
Yeah, it's quite an honor. Kennard's a really good player, and I think Petrino really liked him and hopes that he develops into a Division I type player. As far as Northern goes, he had committed to Western Kentucky with Brom, and when he went to Purdue, when Brom went to Purdue, he felt highly enough about Cam to bring him up to Purdue as well. So, and if you watched Cameron Northern, there's no doubt he has the tools to be a big time quarterback. So, kind of cool to see those kids play in college.
Absolutely. We're talking with Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. By the way, there are 235 or more than 235, but 235 on the list of guys from Indiana high schools currently on FBS rosters at this point heading into the 2018 season. So Indiana may be more of a football state than what we give it credit for. Week three of high school football is forthcoming. Some interesting games. This isn't, one to me, one of the better weeks of games, but I really am curious to see Providence and Silver Creek. That's got the makings of a local rivalry. Providence has played 5A New Albany. They challenged 5A Floyd Central. Now they'll play Silver Creek in 4A as they continue to open the season with some bigger schools. This definitely, I think, is a winnable game for Providence as they still look for their first win of the season. But Silver Creek is you know, not a rollover. They're definitely formidable and can put a challenge on the field.
Yeah, for years, Providence opened with what was usually a not great New Albany team, followed by an average Floyd Central team. This year, they start with a good 5A team in New Albany and a good 5A team in Floyd Central. And I think that Silver Creek, I'm still convinced that they're a good 4A team. You know, Salem's pretty good, and what Silver Creek did to them was really impressive. And I think it's obviously Providence is a good 2A team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game. I still think Silver Creek might be the better team. But again, as we talked about last week, that doesn't mean Providence isn't really good for 2A. Even if they lose this one and they fall to 0-3, that's what happened last year. And I even think last year they weren't as good as this year. But even last year we thought, well, once they get through this, they're going to have a pretty good season. And, of course, they went on to win the sectional. So it's pretty close to a toss-up, and it's the only game this week of our local wins that doesn't have a real big favorite.
Absolutely. Again, Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, our guest. Other games, what are some other ones you're going to pay close attention to this week here in week three of high school football?
Well, New Albany's the story right now, obviously. Coming off a win over Castle in which the defense gave up one touchdown after giving up eight to Castle last year. They're clearly the story. So no matter who they're playing going forward, even if it's Jennings County, you know, that's going to be a game that we're going to be paying attention to at this point. You know, Jeff plays Bedford. Bedford, I think, is right there with New Albany and Floyd at the top of the Hoosier Hills Conference. So that's going to be a tough one. Charlestown-Clarksville, it'll be interesting to see what Charlestown has after getting blown out last week. So, you know, Floyd Central-Madison, again, we talked about Friday. Weeks 2 and 3 are where you really find out about how good a team is. And I think Floyd Central still has some questions to answer, but they have a chance to be pretty good with a good inside-outside running game and a really good defense. If they can, you know, they've got some really talented wide receivers. If they can find a way to utilize them, you know, Floyd Central has a chance to be, you know, I keep saying second or third best, but the way East has started, who knows? Maybe a conference championship could be had by New Albany or Floyd Central. So some interesting games there and conference opener in the Hoosier Hills, except for there's been one game so far, but the conference opener for New Albany and Floyd Central. So another interesting week ahead, even though I'm guessing there aren't going to be a lot of thrillers like there were last week.
Yep, New Albany Providence volleyball last night. Providence, obviously, the top of the area once again in high school volleyball. But we don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but, boy, a number of players from the local volleyball scene go on to play college volleyball at a high level. Providence has set the standard. Christian Academy has been very strong. Silver Creek has been good. Floyd Central at times has been very good as well. What's the outlook as we close things out today on volleyball for this season here in the area?
Well, we have four teams ranked in the top five in their class. So probably four state championship contenders. Providence is as good as anybody, clearly, in the state. Silver Creek, if there's a team better than them in Class 3A, there's going to have to be a really good Class 3A team because Silver Creek's that good, balanced and talented all over. Christian Academy, of course, they lost Allie Stumler, but they're still ranked in the top 10, actually the top five. And then Rock Creek is a really athletic Class A team, and I think they can hang with anybody in Class A. So it's, you know, volleyball is one of those, along with baseball and softball and boys basketball, that we really thrive.
I saw Josh Cook's coverage of the New Albany Providence match last night. They had a fire alarm go off, if I saw his tweet correctly, and you could tell just by the number of people and some of the photos in the gym. And he put a photo up of people standing outside of the gym. Great crowd there for a local volleyball game, which is great to see. I mean, the support of high school sports is something that makes this area special. But I think that kind of tells you where volleyball's at in this area, the level of talent that we've been blessed to have play locally, and how good some of the teams have been. The people really come out even early in the season like this and support it on a weeknight.
No doubt. I mean, I think if you look at, you take Clark and Floyd counties together, they start to challenge Delaware County as the best area in high school volleyball. So, you know, Indianapolis has really been good lately too. But there's no better volleyball played in Indiana than there is in Clark and Floyd counties on a typical year.
Talking with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you Friday on some of our high school football programming here on the Big X, and get ready again for week three of high school football.
Thanks again, Matt.
All right, that will wrap up this Wednesday show. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, if you miss a show, you miss a segment, we're available as a podcast. You can check it out on SoundCloud. Point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Also on Apple Podcasts, just search for the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a positive rating and a review as well. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in tuning in to the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Speaking of high school football, we have complete coverage of area football starting at 6 o'clock on Friday. Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X, the kickoff show at 6 o'clock. Play-by-play coverage from 7 o'clock until the end of the games, and the scoreboard show when all the scores are final. That's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.